Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. It is time for our weekly conversation with Peter King, brought to you by Always Health Partners. It's time for a health plan that puts you first and helps make your experience easier, smarter, better. Always Health Partners. You in every way. Learn more at alwayshealthpartners.org. Peter joins us on the line right now. Hello, Peter. How are you?
Dale, how's it going?
We're doing great, thank you. As we speak, the Patriots are on the practice field behind Gillette Stadium. Josh Gordon is out there for the second straight day wearing his number 10. He was limited, quote-unquote, yesterday with a hamstring. What were your initial thoughts when you heard that the Patriots were acquiring the troubled wide receiver?
I was not high on it at all. I mean, you know, the history of Josh Gordon is it's beyond riddled with off-field issues, substance abuse, consistently letting down the team that drafted him, and continually, time after time after time, showed faith in him and brought him back. And I thought it was a bad signing, a bad trade, quite honestly. And you know what? The Patriots might get something good out of him. And if they don't get anything good out of him, then it's almost nothing ventured, nothing gained. But I mean, this is – the Patriots are a proud franchise. And I realize that what I'm saying is a little bit of idealistic crapola. But the Patriots should not be in business with Josh Gordon. He's not worthy of this franchise.
Now, I'm curious, Peter, did you feel – and all the cases are different, for sure. But did you feel the same way about – Albert Haynesworth or Corey Dillon or Michael Floyd or, I mean, even Randy Moss? I mean, they've had a lot of guys with checkered backgrounds that they've brought in before. Some have worked, certainly, and some have not.
I don't think anybody that the Patriots have ever signed has had a history where there have been five suspensions for substance abuse. There has been one time where he reported and went into rehab for almost a full season. Albert Haynesworth didn't play six games out of 51. Corey Dillon didn't play six games out of 51. This guy has totally been incapable of keeping himself in any kind of condition to play football or to do anything. This is an absolutely separate case. Plus, all those guys had accomplished significant things in pro football. This guy has had about a season and a half of accomplishments, and that was, 5 years ago, or 6 years, or whatever it was, 5 years ago. I'm just not a fan of showing faith in a guy like this. Now, if you want to trade for somebody like this, and if you want to say, look, we're going to trade for him, and immediately we're not going to think about playing football. We're going to think about getting this guy's life in order, and opening day 2019, hopefully he'll be ready to contribute or something like that. If there was some sort of whatever. But, I mean, you know, they're talking about putting him in the lineup this week. This team has done a bad job, period, at the receiver position. They've tried to make do at the receiver position for far too long. They have not valued the receiver position nearly well enough. When Brandon Cooks leaves, we'll find somebody else. We'll get somebody. Eric Decker. We'll get Kenny Britt, whatever. And, you know, at some point, you got to pay the piper. Patriots haven't paid the piper at receiver, and this is what happens.
Why, in your opinion, is Dez Bryant still sitting at home?
Dale, I guess what I would say about Dez Bryant is just that Dez Bryant, the last couple of years, has not really been a very impressive player. And by that I mean if you look at his numbers versus other players in football, versus other receivers in football, he's a disruptive guy, first of all, and he's been a pedestrian guy, second of all. And so, I mean, would I have rather had Dez Bryant than Josh Gordon? Yes, 100 times yes. But clearly, Josh Gordon, on his best day, could still be a very good NFL receiver. But when's the last best day we've seen in Josh Gordon? It's been, I think it's been 4 or 5 years.
Don't you think last year he played the last 5 games for the Browns, and he certainly wasn't all pro, but he was still probably better than what the Patriots have now?
You're right, he was. And so what happened this week? What happened this week is that, you know, the night before they're going to leave to go to New Orleans, he's out at whatever it is, 11, 1130 at night, making a commercial or doing whatever it was he did. He's an irresponsible human being, period. And, you know, until he shows responsibility, I'd rather not have him in my locker room.
Do you think it's an admission of what you stated earlier, that the Patriots have been held hostage by the wide receiver position, and Bill Belichick saying, look, we've screwed this thing up, but we got to try to get somebody in here who can play?
Yeah, I'm sure that's what it is. I mean, Bill, for smart as he is about personnel, has not been very smart about the wide receiver position. He seems to always think that he'll invent a Danny Amendola or Julian Edelman. And, you know, I'm not saying that Amendola, Edelman, Chris Hogan aren't findable. They are. But it isn't necessarily as easy as you think. And then I think it also comes down to the fact that I just don't think this team likes to pay market value for outstanding skill position players. The only guy they've done it with in recent years, right, is Rob Gronkowski. Mm. I mean, Tom Brady has given them a gigantic break in the last few years. By not seeking to make market value money at the quarterback position. And I think all he has asked for traditionally over the years is, hey, listen, I'm fine with being the, and I don't even know what it is, you can read these figures so many different ways, but I'm fine with being the 10th or 15th highest paid quarterback in football as long as you're going to take care of the rest of the team. It's just my opinion. But, you know, the Patriots have not taken care of the skill positions on this team this year.
Do you think it's because they do have Gronk and no other team has Gronk, where they say, you know, the tight end is going to have X number, of, you know, his production is going to be this, where you can kind of cheap out on the receivers? Do you think maybe that's been part of the problem?
I'm sure that enters into their thinking, that we love the fact that we have a guy who's going to take up so much attention from the defense. And that's an incredibly valuable thing to have. But again, you know, Rob Gronkowski over the last 2 years, I mean, not including this year, but over the last 2 years, has missed 10 games with injuries. And, you know, that's a lot of games. That's almost a third of your regular season games. And so, you know, you can think that, but if the guy is not absolutely going to be there every week, I think it's because, I mean, does anybody really expect Rob Gronkowski for the first time in 7 years, I think it would be, to play a 16-game season this year?
No.
I mean, I don't. But anyway, I mean, I'm not knocking him. I'm just looking at his history.
Right. Ian O'Connor is making the rounds for a new book that comes out on September 25th. It's being described as almost the definitive work about Bill Belichick. Among the things in there, some, I'm not sure new, but indications of the strained relationship between Brady and Belichick. Is there anything based on what you've read so far of the excerpts that surprises you at all?
I mean, Dale, it'd be really, I have not read anything of this book other than a few of the quotes that I've seen distributed, especially in the last 24 hours. The only thing that I would say, and I have tremendous respect for Ian O'Connor, and I'm sure that this book is going to be tremendous, and I'm really looking forward to it. I just got it yesterday. I'm really looking forward to combing through it. But if I were Bill Belichick, I'd be just a little bit concerned because, you know, and again, I need to read this because it's easy to go off half-cocked when you just see quotes about things. But that quote about, and again, I'm really going to be paraphrasing it, about X number of guys, we think we could win a Super Bowl with X number of guys other than Tom Brady.
Yeah, Peter, real quick, it was, if you gave us, this is an assistant coach said, if you gave us any of the top 15, we could do it. I don't think the coaches view Tom as special as everyone else in football does. Mr. Kraft thinks Tom is the greatest gift ever, but the coaches don't.
I guess I would just, whoever said that, I think it's foolish. But I guess I would make this point. My understanding is that was the opinion around the time they drafted Garoppolo. Is that right?
Yes.
Yes,
that's correct.
So I guess I would make this point. Okay, in Super Bowl 49, the Patriots are down 24-14 to the Legion of Doom. 12 minutes left in the game. And I guess I would say, could Andy Dalton or Alex Smith have led 68 and 64-yard touchdown drives to beat the best defense of the day with two touchdown passes in the last 12 minutes? And then let's go further against Atlanta. Super Bowl 51. They're down 28-3 with 20 minutes left in the game. Could Ryan Tannehill or Sam Bradford or whoever you would count in the top 15 of that particular season, could they have been coached to come back from 28-3 with 20 minutes left? I mean, sometimes people say things that I think if they would just sit back and think about it before they said them, they might say, I'm probably going a little bit too far. Maybe top five. I find it laughable that somebody thinks that any of the top 15 quarterbacks in football could have done either of those two things that I just mentioned.
Now, this weekend, a Sunday night game, Patriots and the Lions. So taking on Matt Patricia, been a real tough start for him. He could be looking at 0-3. How quickly could that seat get hot in Detroit?
I mean, they're not going to do anything to Matt Patricia this year. He'd have to go 0-16 with an open mutiny. But I think that, you know, a lot of times when you go in and you take over a new job in a new place, it's not enough that you come from the Belichick tree and that you've been seated at the right hand of Belichick for a decade or however long it is. I think Josh McDaniels found that out in Denver. That even though he was the trusted confidant of Tom Brady and the day-to-day coach and play designer of a team that, you know, had won multiple Super Bowls and had all the experience from Belichick, I mean, you're not hiring Bill Belichick, you're hiring Josh McDaniels. And same thing that Matt Patricia is finding out now. And I'd be careful about saying that Patricia can't do it or he's not going to be able to do it. He's a really, really smart guy. And smart people understand that what they're doing may not be working and I may have to change it. So I don't throw the baby out with the bathwater in Detroit yet. I'll give Matt Patricia some time to figure it out because he's a very smart guy and the people who have played for him, you know, in and around, you know, in New England for all these years, really, really like him and trust him. So, I don't know what's going to happen. I just probably wouldn't be drawn any deep conclusions yet about Matt.
Andrew Sendejo of the Minnesota Vikings was flagged for unnecessary roughness on Sunday. He reportedly said to the official, "What could I have done different?" According to his coach, Mike Zimmer, the official said, "You did everything right. You couldn't have done anything different. They just want us to throw the flag." If that is accurately told, the NFL's got real issues.
You know, Dale, I defy anybody who watches you know, two of the huge calls in that game, the Kendricks rushing the passer, roughing the passer, and the Clay Matthews roughing the passer, which, you know, Vikings fans aren't going to want to hear this, but that was one of the decisive plays in Green Bay not winning that game, period. If Clay Matthews, as should have been, was not called for roughing the passer, Green Bay would have had the ball with a minute 50 left and would have had to have made one first down to run out the clock and win the game by 8 points. But Tony Corrente threw an ill-advised flag. But I had Terry McCauley on my podcast this week. Now, many of you will recognize that name. He's a 17-year NFL referee, a 20-year official, a 17-year referee. And he now works for NBC as the rules analyst. And just listen to Terry McCauley talk about how awful these calls have been. And this is a well-respected official. And I can tell you right now, I don't think these things are going to stand, Dale. I really don't. I think the NFL is trying to draw a line in the sand to say, don't go past this. Don't go past X. And, you know, to try to take some of the aggression away from defensive players. Okay. And they're not going to keep calling this. If they keep calling this, I don't know how football, and I don't mean to exaggerate, but I don't know how football can exist in its current way, its current form, if you're going to call a roughing the passer call on Clay Matthews the way you did. No player will want to go in on a quarterback unless he's coming in from his blind side where he's positive the quarterback is not going to release the ball before he gets there. What's happening right now is to me, a bastardization of the rules.
Final question before we let you go. How bad is the locker room situation in Pittsburgh for Mike Tomlin right now?
Dale, I will believe this for a long time. I don't really think it's that different than it's been in the last 2 or 3 years. I think what's different is that the team is playing poorly. The defense can't stop anybody. And when that happens and things start to happen the way they have happened early on with this team, I think everybody is going to be jumping off the ship. And by that, I mean, you know, the little things are not going to be little anymore. They're all going to be magnified because behind the scenes, I think Antonio Brown has been a tough guy to get along with pretty often in Pittsburgh. But when you win and when he's scoring touchdowns and everything is great, you just deal with it. But when you lose and you're not playing well, then it becomes more difficult to deal with. This is just my feeling. Okay. But I think a lot has to do with the simple fact that this team is not playing well defensively. And so there's pressure on the offense to score 33, 35 points to have a decent chance to win. And that is incredible pressure for an offense to try to deal with week after week.
Peter, we appreciate the time as always. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
See you, Peter.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.